We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, U-N-I-F-Y-D, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.
Jesse, are you ready for rapid fire?
I am. We're almost an hour into this thing. And
we are.
Still haven't even touched rapid fire.
Yeah, and we've got more pro day stuff to come in rapid fire. So hold on tight because it's coming at you right now. Fill in the blank. It's blank that Dallas Cowboys head coach Mike McCarthy and new Washington Commanders head coach Dan Quinn were the only NFL head coaches at Notre Dame's pro day today.
It is intriguing, and sorry for kind of chomping on the bit about this a little bit earlier.
Okay, I know you were excited to get here.
So. It's intriguing because of what I kind of highlighted earlier for maybe people that weren't around. Mike McCarthy didn't show up to the combine itself. Will McClay is like the prodigy in terms of scouting and, you know, who the Cowboys are going to draft. The first layer is going through Will McClay. And then it's after that, it's kind of presenting it to the rest of, you know, everyone else. And so what I'm getting at is, long story short, the Cowboys don't just show up for no reason. They have their eyes very specifically on, you know, someone at Notre Dame. And what makes them more intriguing is they're a lower end, back end kind of pick. They're not like the Commanders, who have a higher overall pick, who might be in the, you know, the running for Joe Alt potentially. The Cowboys are there strategically because of someone that fits the profile of what they're looking for. And so I'm really intrigued of who that might be, because I think the Commanders were ultimately there to maybe look at some defensive guys because of Dan Quinn, and then really to get in on the Joe Alt sweepstakes. But I really want to know if it's the Cowboys, who they're looking at. To me, they're looking at Estime and Blake Fisher. And I think Blake Fisher is intriguing because he can be moved across the line. They have a lot of, you know, they just let go of Tyron Smith. They let one of their other guards go. They're looking for offensive linemen. And right now they have like no running backs on roster as well. So I'm very intrigued. What are they going to do there?
D-Hawk says this show caters to Cowboys fans. There's
it just so happens that they were there. It's not my fault.
He was there. The Dallas Cowboys head coach and the Washington Commanders head coach, Dan Quinn, who of course was the defensive coordinator in Dallas for the last 3 years. But, you know, he was there. Like, I'm standing there. And we'll talk about Cliff Kingsbury here in a second, but Dan Quinn and Cliff Kingsbury literally walked like right in front of me on the field as they walked in the building together. It's like, oh, hello, what's this? And then, you know, I mentioned there's another guy who's a Cowboys fan who was there, and we were talking for a minute, and he's like, yeah, somebody said Mike McCarthy was here as well. And then the next thing you know, I see Mike McCarthy across the field. And then the next thing you know, Quinn and McCarthy are down there talking with each other. It, like, you're absolutely right. Like, with the Cowboys, because the head coach and their player personnel guy were both here, there's someone very specific that they're looking at. And like, what we know specifically about the Cowboys is they have needs both with the offensive line and with the running back position to fill starting spots. Like, those are both high-end, high-priority needs. So I've got to think that, like, to me, it's got to be Audric Estime, number one, that they're looking at. And they, you know, if that's the case, they came away very impressed based on the combine or the pro day that Estime had. You know, Blake Fisher, you know, again, like you can talk about him as a guard. That's probably where I would see him on that specific line. And you probably, you know, move Tyler Smith back outside to tackle with Tyron Smith gone. But two very specific needs. And for the command, here's when I start looking at, and we talked about Estime and his potential for the second round. Here's what's scary for, like, anyone really. You know, you don't have to just be a Cowboys fan, but if you're an Eagles fan or a Giants fan. So here's where the Washington Commanders pick. And again, Dan Quinn was there and Cliff Kingsbury was there. So Washington, of course, picks number two overall, and everyone is expecting them to take a quarterback. So, like, they weren't there, obviously, for that specific spot looking for a quarterback. But then you look at their second round where they've got a lot of picks. They pick number 36 overall, which is the fourth pick of the second round. Then they pick 40th overall from their trade with the Chicago Bears. And then they also, I think they have one other pick in the second round, or is that it? No, I guess it's just those two picks, but they pick 36th and 40th. They pick early in the second round. I would be shocked if Estime goes past either one of those two. Like, because again, the fact that the head coach and the offensive coordinator of Washington were there.
You're definitely looking on one side of the ball.
Yes. They're looking at an offense. And the fact that they have two high picks in the second round, I think, like, for Audric Estime, that bodes very well. For fans of anyone other than the Washington Commanders, that doesn't bode very well, I don't think. So is that what you're thinking as well? Like, are you starting to think that Audric Estime is going to be a high second round pick potentially?
I think he's solidly between rounds two and four. Okay. That's where I put my range on Audric Estime. I think he has the potential. I could see him being an early round second, like a number. How many picks are there overall? 32. I could see him being like around pick 50. And then I could see him kind of, you know, falling towards maybe pick 100, towards, you know, middle of third round, end of fourth round. I think 50 through 100 is my accurate kind of range for him. And I think someone else in the chat brought up a good point too when talking about the Cowboys. You know, they do need linebackers. I just don't think, like, Maris Leofel, they have that type of linebacker on roster. They're looking for more of a run stopper, kind of up the middle linebacker, who maybe that's J.D. Bertrand. But, of course, they want to come out to Pro Day knowing that J.D. Bertrand is not going, you know, to perform still. So do the Cowboys need a linebacker? They sure do. They need some. And Van Der Esch just retired as well. He medically retired. And so I do think that, you know, I don't know if they're on Notre Dame, but they definitely need linebackers.
See, like, people are saying that early in the second round is too high on Estime, but who are those guys they're looking at? Like, again, like, the fact that two head coaches and an offensive coordinator and a player personnel guy are all there. Like, they're not looking at Joe Alt, you know, like, maybe the Commanders are thinking about Joe Alt. I don't know. Like, if they decide not to draft a quarterback at number two, or if they, you know, decide to trade down, you know, and like, maybe try to grab Joe Alt ahead of somebody else and a quarterback, you know, like, depending on who they were to trade with. But it just, you know, like the guys working out, like Joe Alt is the only first round pick that was at Pro Day today, right? And again, right. The fact that you had that high end NFL personnel there watching, to me, it says it's got to be either Estime or Fisher that they're looking at, both on the offensive side of the ball.
Yeah, and like, you know, Dan Quinn, Cliff Kingsbury, Mike McCarthy, Will McClay, these are important people, especially right now with, you know, mm-hmm. everything that's going on with the draft process. They're not just, again, showing up to these to this specific day for no reason, right? And when you're heavy loaded with offensive staff, if you're the Commanders, and then you look at the needs of the Cowboys, I think there's three guys that like every team was looking at today that was there. Joe Alt, Blake Fisher, and Audric Estime. And where they fit into their draft schedule is completely up to them. But those are the three guys that had the eyeballs on them today, in my opinion.
Right. By the way, I didn't mention this earlier. Avery Davis, former Notre Dame receiver, was there. He, of course, his career ended, unfortunately, a couple years ago due to injury. He had a pretty solid pro day as well. He had a vertical jump of 35. He had a broad jump of 9.6. He ran a 4.56 40 time and a 4.37 shuttle time. So pretty good little pro day for Avery Davis. I'll be curious to see if he has any opportunities to sign as a free agent potentially someplace.
Football season may be over, but the action on the floor is heating up. Whether it's tournament season or the fight for playoff home court, there's no shortage of high-stakes basketball moments this time of year. Get in on the excitement with Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app, where you can turn your hoops knowledge into some serious cash. Prize Picks is the largest daily fantasy sports platform in North America. We are the easiest and most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. It's just you against the numbers. Instead of battling thousands of other players, including pros and sharks, you pick more than or less than on 2 to 6 player stat projections and watch the winnings roll in. You can now win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. You heard it. 4 correct picks. You can turn $10 into $1,000 with NBA, NHL, and college basketball entries today on Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app. It is so easy to use. All you have to do is download the app in the App Store or Google Play Store, sign up, add some funds, and you're in. Then you just find your favorite player and decide more or less on the suggested stat. It really is that easy. The night I joined, I picked Hannah Hidalgo to have more than 14 points, Maddie Westbeld to have less than 10 rebounds, and Marcus Burton to have more than 18 points. And guess what? I hit on all three. Bing, bang, boom, baby. Money in my pocket. It was just that easy. Download the app today and use code IRISH for a first deposit match up to $100. Again, download the app today and use code IRISH for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
All right. Cliff Kingsbury, as I mentioned, was also there as well. Former USC offensive coordinator, now the offensive coordinator for the Washington Commanders. He spent a few minutes talking with Sam Hartman at the end of the pro day. Do you think that means anything?
I don't think it means nothing. I don't know how much of a significance it means, but in terms of, you know, a guy that is regarded as, you know, a good offensive mind, a respected offensive mind, obviously that's why the Commanders hired him. And then his ability to kind of work with quarterbacks, I don't think it's a bad thing that he's talking to Sam Hartman. I think, you know, whatever, maybe Sam Hartman was getting a bit of advice from him, maybe getting a bit of feedback from him, but whatever sort of conversation that they were having, I find it only to be beneficial to someone like Sam Hartman, given Cliff Kingsbury's background.
Yeah, I think so as well. You know, again, like, I don't think Cliff Kingsbury was talking about Sam Hartman because he thinks that Sam Hartman is their answer at quarterback
right
going forward. But he coached for a team that played against Notre Dame, so he's seen him on film. He's seen him up close and personal, and he knows what kind of career Sam Hartman had. And, you know, I think that at the very least that there might be, you know, like some late round or free agent interest, you know, something like that where Sam Hartman could, you know, end up in training camp with a team like that. But, you know, like there's going to be, because of where Sam Hartman, you know, where he falls in the draft, they're going to be like, everyone's going to have a chance at Sam Hartman. It's just going to depend on, you know, I'm sure he's had a lot of conversations with a lot of different guys. Fill in the blank. Joe Alt is blank.
Joe Alt is, in my opinion, the number one draft pick in this combine because you can take your chances at quarterbacks. Like I could argue that the Bears should have just traded their pick, drafted Joe Alt and rolled the dice with Justin Fields. How much would having a good offensive lineman boost someone like Justin Fields' game? But I think in terms of, you know, overall safety and security, if you wanted to knock it out of the park, every team could use a player like Joe Alt. He's going to be a fabulous professional, and it is clear why he is the top offensive lineman in this draft.
To me, Joe Alt is the most sure first-round pick Notre Dame has had basically since Quentin Nelson. That's been, what, 7 years now at this point? This is the most surefire lock of a guy that Notre Dame can have drafted in the first round and will perform at that level once he gets to the NFL, just like Quentin Nelson. That's what Joe Alt is to me. And, like, you know, like we saw him on Saturdays, obviously, and his stock has stayed very high. There's been no wavering on Joe Alt. Like, you haven't seen him drop off like what happens with a lot of guys once you get past the combine and all this different stuff, and you find reasons, you know, to pick apart different guys and that kind of thing. Joe Alt is just he's the most surefire first round, you know, guy that Notre Dame has had since Quentin Nelson. Plain and simple. What did I miss, by the way? Like, what happened in the chat?
What do you mean?
That's, I don't know. Speaking of offensive line, Sean Kelly had a question earlier. He said, regarding Tosh Baker, everyone knows Blake Fisher had an on and off year last season. With that production, is that what we could see from Tosh, or is that too high of a ceiling? I would just have to say TBD. Like, we need a little bit more. We need to see a little bit more from Tosh Baker. I think what we've seen from him so far has been pretty good. Maybe he exceeds that. He's been with Joe Rudolph for a year. So, you know, he's going to have an offensive line coach for more than one season, you know, which, you know, you went from Jeff Quinn to Harry Hiestand for just one season and then to Joe Rudolph. So I think that stability and kind of consistency is going to help him. But, I think we kind of need to see how things play out this spring, but that is a spot to be looking at because, you know, we were talking about Emil Wagner, you know, needing to put on the weight and stuff like that right now. Right now, I would say Tosh Baker is clearly in front of Emil Wagner, but if Emil Wagner continues to fill out that frame, I will be curious to see, like, what happens over the course of the summer, and do we see another shift in fall training camp like we saw last year when we thought we had a pretty good idea of what the offensive line was going to look like, and then it switched once camp came around. So I would say jury's still out. TBD on Tosh Baker.
I'll let you handle that one. I couldn't give quite an eloquent answer as you did.
Okay. Shift to a little bit of basketball. March Madness, of course, is here. Michigan State head coach Tom Izzo says automatic NCAA bids for mid-major conferences need to be reconsidered. He says, while everybody likes the early upsets, quote, I'm not sure that's true as it goes on in later rounds, end quote. So do you buy or sell what Izzo is saying?
You know, I don't want to go too much into a rabbit hole of kind of my overall thoughts of the NCAA tournament, but what they have now, I do believe that if you're going to have as big of a field as you have and you're going to allow this many teams to get in, every conference champion deserves to get in. Everyone deserves a shot, right? Like it shouldn't just be you win your conference championship and that's enough. I do believe that that should buy you some sort of extra opportunity. And that's why only one team, usually the conference champion from these smaller conferences, get the automatic bid. Listen, it's not it, – there's still an outrageous underdog in the grand scheme of things. And so if you're Michigan State or the Kentuckys or the Kansas or, you know, whoever it might be, you can't really cry because you are still a better team. You are – you know, and that's kind of the whole premise of the thing. You got a high seed. You are better than these lower-level teams. And so you just kind of have to deal with it. Do I think that some of these – you know, Mid-American conference champions are better than maybe some of the, you know, middle of the pack or lower of the end Big Ten, SEC, ACC teams that get in? Sure, and they're definitely hotter and they definitely have more to play for. And so in terms of maybe like reconsidering the seeding, okay, I'm more on board with that, but leaving out conference champions, I'm not on board with.
Yeah, and I mean, that's it is part of the fun of the tournament is what happens in these first two rounds. So I can agree with him to an extent on what he's saying. Like everybody likes the upsets in the first two rounds. Like Morehead State was giving Illinois a run for its money for a little bit more than a half before Illinois ended up pulling away earlier this afternoon. But, you know, like people want to see the upsets. That's part of the fun. It's like everyone fills out a bracket and who's got the brackets and, you know, who's going to pick one of the better seeds and see them knocked out in the first or second round by these little darlings. You don't want to take away the automatic bids for the small conferences. It's okay. It's like, I'm just shocked that a longtime coach from a Power Five conference, you know, would be saying, take away bids from the little guy, basically. Right. Because it's like, he wants more bids for the big conference and he doesn't want to see these little schools get them. It's like, they're one bid leagues for a reason, because they're in these smaller conferences and you've got to at least give them the opportunity because that is part of it. Now, the other side of it is, you know, like look at last year's Final Four when you had Florida Atlantic and you had San Diego State along with UConn and Miami. It was one of the, you know, lowest viewership, you know, worst viewership Final Fours that we've seen in a long time because you didn't have the blue bloods. And I saw somebody say you want the blue bloods by the Elite Eight. And that's usually what happens. You get a few upsets in the first round, but you have the big dogs by the time it's all said and done. You didn't have that last year. But look, most of these little guys are never going to actually compete for a national championship. They'll pull off an upset or two. Fairleigh Dickinson last year, knocking off Purdue, you know, UMBC a few years back, knocking off Virginia, but they're not going to make a run for a national championship, but you're giving them an opportunity to get in there and play. Tom Izzo has actually won a national championship. So I find it a little bit much to hear someone like him who's actually won it all, has played in a big conference and won a lot of games in the tournament, you know, to try to be taking away spots from the little guy in this situation. So the other side of that is there's continuing talk about expanding the NCAA tournament. Do you buy or sell that?
Big sell. I was good with 64. I was good with 68. I don't need any more. I think there's enough parity. I think enough teams get in. We have all the conference champions. Everyone is taken care of. And all of the borderline teams, you know, today that a lot of people were like, like South Carolina, for example, a lot of teams felt, you know, they shouldn't have been in. They got smoked by Oregon. I think you're going to, the more you expand, the more potential you create, like teams who don't really belong. And I think you risk, you know, damaging kind of the product overall. I get it. You want parity, but you still want good basketball at the end of the day. And I think the more teams you let in, you kind of, you know, you're letting in more fringe kind of not elite March Madness type basketball, in my opinion.
Here's my compromise. And this is my annual pitch for this expansion. This is my idea on how you expand the NCAA tournament, because we've got four play-in games every year. And most of the time, these are double-digit seeds. Like every year, two of the four are a pair of 16 seeds, you know, playing in a play-in game. And some people don't like that. They say, well, these 16 seeds should get a chance to participate in the actual tournament. Well, there's only been two 16 seeds that have beaten a number one seed ever. And they've happened within the last, what is it, five, 6 years now at this point. You're actually giving these 16 seeds to compete against another 16 seed and actually have a chance to win a game. I can't remember off the top of my head. Was it Wagner? Like one of these schools just within the last couple of days, they got their first ever win in NCAA tournament history because they got a chance to play in a play-in game. So my idea is every double-digit seed from 16 through 10, you know, 10 through 16, whichever way you want to look at it, all the double-digit seeds play a play-in game. So you match up all these double-digit seeds, and that way you've got full days of basketball on not just Thursday and Friday, but you've got more games on Tuesday and Wednesday with all these double-digit seeds playing as well. That's how I would expand the tournament. And that, to me, would give more of the smaller conferences chances to get more teams in the tournament as well. What do you think of that idea? You're still out on that?
Yeah, it doesn't really move the needle for me. I don't know. Maybe I'm too traditionalist at this point. I think 64 is the perfect number, the way it kind of breaks down, you know, the Sweet 16, the Elite Eight, the Four. I think the only way you could really do it is if you introduce kind of more play-in games to get into the field of 64.
Yeah. Michael says, too many teams without breaks open the door to too many injuries. Well, don't forget, NC State played five games in 5 days at their ACC tournament last week. In the NCAA tournament, you're still going to have a day between every game. So, you know, you're going to have a day off in between every game in the NCAA tournament, even as a play-in game. Like if you played on Tuesday, your next game wouldn't be till Thursday. And if you happen to win on Thursday, you wouldn't play again until Sunday. So I think it would be more excitement and more fun by doing that, by letting more double digit, you know, smaller, you know, little guys in the tournament.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
I have no idea what happened to Derek. You know, I'm sitting here and we're doing something, and the next thing you know, I see that apparently Jesse, you know, flipped the block button.
I meant to put him in timeout as a joke, and I don't know if it accidentally kicked him. So I do apologize if that happened. He said Sam Hartman was better than Dak, and I thought that deserved a 5-minute timeout.
Oh, there he comes.
There he is.
He's out of timeout.
I was so worried. Thank goodness he is back. Just don't make any more absurd comments like that again.
I didn't know if something crazy actually happened. The next thing I know, blocked out of there. Man.
It says blocked, but I really, it was just a timeout. I'm glad because I saw the blocked and I was like, that is not what I meant to do. All good.
All right. Fill in the blank. It's blank that the Dodgers and Padres opened up the Major League Baseball season in Seoul, Korea this week. They played games at 6 a.m. Eastern time yesterday and today.
It is stupid. And the reason why I say it's stupid is, why are they doing this a week before the actual regular season? Like, I don't care if they did this as like the appetizer, you know, March 26, 27, but they're doing this like a whole week early and calling it, you know, the start of the regular season. It's just, it's really stupid. Like, I don't mind the games and the start time of 6 a.m. and where, you know, the location and all that stuff. I just think it needs to be in closer proximity to the actual start of the MLB season, because now we have this week off and then the real MLB season starts back up. So that was my only gripe with it. It's like we're kind of, you know, jumping the gun here a little bit.
A couple different things. One, it's stupid. That's my answer to the fill in the blank. It's stupid. But here's why. A couple different reasons. One, Major League Baseball did not do a very good job of promoting.
Yeah, horrible marketing.
Yes. Like, so few people knew that this was going on. And then, like you said, they played two games. Now they got to come back. Other teams are still in spring training. Actual opening day for everybody else is still, what is it, next week sometime?
Yes.
Two, the fact that these games start at 6 a.m. Eastern time, but these are two West Coast teams. So that means that actual fans of those teams have to get up at 3 a.m. on the West Coast if they want to watch the Dodgers and Padres play to start off the season. Two division rivals. Like, it makes zero sense to me. Zero.
I think the real topic of conversation today is Shohei Ohtani a degenerate gambler like the rest of us?
And that
should have been the real rapid fire question.
Wow.
Because to me, there's either one of two options.
Yeah.
One of two options. The interpreter is just the fall guy and he's got some serious gambling issues.
Uh-huh.
Or the interpreter really was, you know, who they say he is. But I don't know. I still think there's a lot of question marks. But I mean, we all know how this is going to go in the end. We'll never really know the true answer. I just think it'd be hilarious if Ohtani is really like $4 million in debt because of his gambling issues.
No kidding, man. It's going to be an interesting story to follow. Like, cause that really came out of the blue as well.
It came out at like 6 a.m. this morning.
Yeah, that's right. Swallowed up everything else. Michael, man, it's like, you know, you've got some good takes, Michael, but Sam Hartman over Dak Prescott. I don't see that. Do you know much about these RAS ratings that Irish Gordian Knot is asking about? They are relative athletic scores.
Oh, yes, I have seen these. These are like, I sent you this. This Cam Hart, I believe, his RAS score was like through the roof. It's just basically like taking all of your kind of
adding up the data,
intangible,
you
know, how you perform in a lot of different metrics, and then giving kind of a composite score of basically just giving, you know, compared to every other draft prospect at your position, how you compare at the end of the day. And so it's not just only this draft class. It looks at the entirety of guys who have been drafted as NFL running backs, quarterbacks, you know, whatever it might be. And then it compares you to them. And then gives you kind of a rating. And I remember Cam Hart's was like basically through the roof.
Really?
Yes.
I'm sitting here and I'm scrolling down and there it is, Notre Dame. So let's see. Wow.
Yeah, Jake, I can bring
Claypool,
it up.
Chase Claypool and Miles Boykin both had very high, as did Kevin Austin, apparently. Very high RAS scores. Joe Alt, Drew Tranquil. I'm going in order. Equanimeous St. Brown, Brady Quinn, Jerry Tillery, Rocky Boyman. Some interest. Like Quentin Nelson's was fairly low. That's interesting.
Let me. Here we go.
In comparison to those other guys that I just mentioned.
Tab. Here we go. Can you bring that up?
There you go.
So this is, you know, again, you have your height, your weight, your bench, your vertical, your broad, your 40-yard dash, your 20-yard split, and your 10-yard split. And, you know, it says athletic testing is on a scale of 0 to 10. You know, and his overall RAS score is a 9.82 out of 10. Like, That's pretty phenomenal, or pretty fantastic, phenomenal, fantastic, whatever you want to say. But it's just, again, it, to me, it's like a big overall, how athletic are you compared to everyone else at your position?
Okay. I'll have to do some more looking at that. Like I said, I'd never really delved too much into that. Joe says, I guess we have learned not to compare anyone to Dak. I mean, you can compare like Kirk Cousins to Dak. That's one thing, but come on, you can't compare Sam Hartman to Dak. Come on. That's not a comparison.
That's just a
joke. That's just a joke is all that is. You know, you guys know that. Come on. All right. Well, that's going to do it for today. We will have a Friday show tomorrow.
Is it just you and I?
I don't know. Is Vince here? I know Vince can't do next week. Is he here with us tomorrow? Or
I don't know. I got him confused. I think we'll all be here tomorrow.
He's, you know, with him and his spreadsheet, I can't even, I don't even try it.
Usually it's me and the spreadsheet. I have a hockey game tomorrow night, so we got to be, you know, quick.
Out on the ice? Okay. All right. So hit the like button before you leave. Subscribe, rate, and review. Joe said he was making it. I mean, I had a feeling you were, but he said he was making a joke. I had a feeling, but sometimes you never know.
What'd you think of the new hat today? Notice this is a Notre Dame hat?
It does look good. I wasn't sure if you had had that before or not. Where'd you find that?
Got this for my birthday.
Nice.
Green, and then it's got the gold shamrock and a blue Indy in the middle. So the latest addition to the collection.
The answer is yes to DK and Salty. 5 o'clock Eastern time.
I thought we said no more stupid comments, DK.
I remain unsalted. We'll talk to you tomorrow on IB Nation Sports Talk. We'll be right back.